Congratulations, and you're welcome back to All of This is Temporary.
Congratulations for what?
Finding this show. Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
And welcome back.
You're one of the select 10 that I get to view.
To All of This is Temporary with your hosts. I'm Ray Stone. Across from me is the lovely Melody Gates. What kind of gates does she keep? Nobody knows.
You listen on to find out.
This week's show is brought to you by what many middle-aged women consider to be the cornerstone of society, Franzia box wine.
Man.
Baby, your inner dirt bag is showing.
What? No. Listen, I did not want to get a whole bottle because I don't want to drink a bottle and I don't want to drink during the week.
I'm pretty sure Franzia has classically always come in. Is that the one that came in the big jug? That's the stuff my mom drank, the big jug, the Franzia. Yeah, that's
in
right.
In the jug? No, you're thinking of a different one.
The bulbous.
This came in a box, in a big box.
Okay, that also rings true. I'm pretty sure Franzia. Yeah, what was the big bottle? Oh, I can't remember.
It was like Rocio or...
Yes.
It was like, it's cooking wine.
It was like two
words.
And
the big jug is a cooking wine. That's why it comes in a big jug and it's $5 for a gallon.
Same with the boxes.
They actually have good wine in boxes now. So I don't like turn my, snub my nose if it's in a box, mm-hmm. but...
But they're only the part sponsor. Franzia is only, to complete the middle-aged woman ensemble, you also have to have a Bible.
A Bible?
Brought to you by the Bible.
Oh, I have like three Bibles.
The one and only, the main Bible.
Mm-hmm. I have quite a few. I haven't brought them in this house yet. Once I sell my house, my Bibles will be coming in here.
Why?
I like having them. Every now and then I like to read them. And
just brush up on the stories.
I think it's good to have an understanding. I also have like Buddhist texts too, and then Hindu texts.
I always want to get into like arguments with people, obviously.
Yeah.
But whenever I see like these guys
talking, we know.
Like quoting from the Quran, the Torah or a Quran or the Bible, I just want to be like, it's a book. I'm just going to remind you that it's a book. And
it's a different book though.
Nope. It was the only book. It was the first book. And that's why people believe it.
Jesus Christ. I can't listen. Jesus Christ, if you're listening, I do apologize.
He knows.
It's not the same as freaking Harry Potter. There's a big difference.
It is exactly the same.
No, it's
not. If they had written Harry Potter first and all those series instead of the Bible, that would be the religion. Because people believe...
No depth to that. There are like moral teachings in religious texts, and it tells you different ways to live your life.
Baby, Harry Potter is nothing but a moral teaching. It's good versus evil. It's focusing on the darkness or the light. It's funny that you chose Harry Potter because that's a great bolster for an example of exactly how I'm right. If they wrote that first... As a series of parables.
Funny that you have so many opinions when you've never read any of these books, but yet you seem to think you know.
Oh, you think I have to? Oh, you think I have to read them?
Well, I mean, I think you should have an opinion? Read some to have such a strong opinion and understanding.
I read the Bible. I started reading the Bible. I was going to read it cover to cover just to see, and I got to page one, and in page one, it was so obvious that they were trying to make women subservient to men on page one, first page, page numero uno, the first page.
Which book are you talking about?
The Bible.
Old Testament, New Testament,
whatever the one that you buy and you just read the Bible.
Ladies
it's called,
gentlemen, this
it's
is
called,
my point oh. exactly.
Oh, let me just, I remember the name. It was called the Holy Bible. That was what it's called. And on the first page, it depicts Adam and Eve, and it tells you the woman will be subservient to the man forever. So, for the record, if you're going to call me about not having read it, you should read page one, because that's how far I got, where I was like, I can't do this bullshit. So bullshit.
So that's okay. So here's a little history. That's the Old Testament, and that's what the Judaism religion was built off of. And then when Jesus came into being, that's how the New Testament was written.
Oh, so that's some old shit.
Because it's very old and out and archaic.
I see.
Yeah, that's why I asked which book.
What you're saying then is the Bible.
But I do agree that it's very patriarchal. And I don't agree with everything it
says. Old and archaic, and they had to rewrite it.
The Old Testament. Yeah, that's exactly what Christianity is.
How is this not striking home that means it's not the original story?
I'm not saying it wasn't the original story. What I'm saying, these are like religious texts that are used in society for centuries and centuries and centuries to create a moral understanding.
Right. Stories.
Yes,
right.
They're stories. Yes.
Not real.
We've always said that.
But a lot of people think that they're real. Like the
and
people
they're
who...
pretty stupid.
Tell that to an entire country of Israel.
Speaking of, so I learned a fun fact this weekend.
Okay.
So I was in, for everybody, I was in LA for a baby shower.
Oh yeah, welcome back. Welcome back from LA's.
I'm dying being back in Arizona already. I'm like, I'm sweating. It's only 101 degrees outside, but it feels so oppressive. Like,
yeah.
Bring me back to that beach air.
How quickly you adjust.
Fuck. Anyways, she's Jewish. Her whole family's Jewish and it's California. So everybody's Jewish there. And we had a lot of Jewish talkings, but she's not like... they never go to the synagogue or anything like that, you know, so they're cool. But anyway, so I learned, and I tried to double check this, but I learned that Hamas sounds, it means shit in Hebrew, like the translation. So I looked it up because I was like, I'm not sure.
How'd they get that name?
I know.
Wow.
Great question.
Sheesh.
I didn't have time to do more research on it.
I mean, Hamas, am I right?
But I was, I just did some research and you can't really believe the first things that come up on Google, but Google was saying that it means violence and that, just that, which kind of is the same thing as
equally shit. Hummus kind of looks like shit.
Interesting. Parallel lines.
So
my
wild.
Goodness.
I didn't know that. So Hamas means poop.
I mean, that's what Ali said. So.
Wow.
Not everybody's right all of the time.
Is that to say she might be wrong? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. So if any of our listeners are privy to this stuff, we'd love to hear your comments below.
Is it the cat yelling or the kids outside yelling? I think it's the kids. If you hear any yelling, it's the golfer kids over there.
Well, it might be the crazy cat who is running around crazy.
Or you're about to hear me go yell at them too.
Oh, special edition. I just heard something again.
The kids?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm like,
we're going to talk over it. We're going to talk about it. my new Testament. Remember, I've got a New Testament now. It's whatever I say is true. I was born on April 9th. So that means I get to write a New Testament. And it's going to be all about how, don't worry about it. It's fine. That's what it's all about.
So over at lunch today, you were so wonderful to draw parallels between you and Jesus Christ.
I just noticed that he was born on the same day as me.
So he resurrected on the same day, which I didn't know that. That was new for me. I didn't know that it was April 9th.
Easter. It was Easter, yeah.
Were you born on a Sunday, baby?
Oh,
because I was also born on a Sunday.
I don't know.
What a fun coincidence.
I couldn't tell you.
We could look it up.
We could if we wanted to.
So let's see. You were born on the same day.
And that's it. That's my qualifier.
You have a healing touch because you do have a nice touch.
Round about 6 foot.
Same height. Construction, you're a builder?
Carpenter. Carpenter, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Your wife is not a virgin, though. That was his mom. His mom was the virgin. His woman was like Lady Magdalene. She was
born of a virgin, Mary.
There we go. Lady Magdalene also had a girlfriend who was a whore. I'm not kidding. I'm not a whore. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I am childless and 40, so.
Jesus' girlfriend
never married.
Was a whore.
That's what, is that not what I said?
Right. No, I'm verifying. Yeah, I'm saying yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about his mom, and then you're like, and she was a whore.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I meant Lady Magdalene, his lady.
Mother Mary and Lady Magdalene.
Jesus also left home at a young age, didn't he? Or he left, no, he left home in his late 20s. So that's it's a mirror parallel. You came home in your early 30s. He left home. Isn't that right? Like disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know the story of, I really don't know. Did he start walking and wandering? That was Moses. Wait. Yeah, I don't know.
Moses was walking and wandering, but Jesus also went on, he traveled quite a lot, but it was around like age 27 that he left home. So he was a carpenter up until that point, and then he left and he started to travel. He went to a lot of different countries. And so this is around the same time that Buddhism came into being. So there are a lot of schools of thought that it's the same person, that it's not even a person, that it's just like a philosophy that sprung up. And it's hard to really know because it was so long ago and history books are rewritten over and over again. So,
and so was the Bible.
That's why I think it's important. Yeah, exactly. There's so many different translations and who translated it. And
this is the part where
this is where it's important to like be discerning and be like, that's fucking bullshit. Or this is what they're actually trying to teach me. This is what I'm going to take away from it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to circle back to my original point,
put a pin in it.
Which is, well, we'll put a pin in it after we circle back and I tie you in to the loop.
I'll loop you in.
When I'm talking about people fighting over this religious belief stuff, which is the cause of many wars, I just want to be like, it's a book. It's a book, you guys. It's still a book. It was rewritten. It was rewritten until you found the version that you like and then you hung your entire personality and belief system on every word that's in this book as gospel truth, and then you fight with anybody who disagrees. It's like, it's a book.
You bring up a very important point. Yeah, you shouldn't know. It's not good to be hung up on one thing as black and white, because everything is nuanced, and we're human, and we are intelligent, and we're given wonderful brains that are able to reason. And
I think the Bible is just for people without mothers.
Oh my God.
And they just didn't have a mom who was like, stop that.
All right. I'm going to cross off the Hamas equals shit on my list.
Hamas and hummus.
I did. Can I bring up the next topic?
What do you think?
I don't want to lead this.
What do you think? Should we let her?
I'm just so excited because for the last couple of weeks, I've actually had things to talk about and I'm just so excited.
This is very good. And, okay. So two things. First of all, every time you want to bring something up, I need you to ask me first.
Did not laugh in the mic.
And
my cackle.
And clarify, yeah.
Yeah. So
last co-host. Oh no, please, I'll go first. Okay.
So last week, you know, I wrote down some things. I was like, I'm going to follow up on these. I didn't have time to follow up on all of them, but I did just look up one. So last week, you had mentioned that there were 15 CEO like billionaires who have died in 2025. So I was quickly trying to look that up and I need more time, but I did find a couple of like two facts that I found very interesting. Okay. So Forbes, they have a list of the world's billionaires that they come out with every year.
Wow, that's dangerous.
As of April of this year, all 31 members of the Forbes list from 2024 have died.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And like,
wow. Okay. Thank you for following up on that. How crazy is that? I saw that. I'm like, what?
And some of them are super old. So it's like, okay, natural cause. 90s and 80s, yeah. Yeah. But all 31 of them. And so that's why I wanted to do a little bit more research. Like, some of them have been murdered.
Wow.
What the fuck is going on? Or 31.
And accidentally murdered. How about the five that went down in that submarine and got five billionaires at once?
There you go. Yeah. 25%. 30%. Boom. And then, so here's the second fact. Okay. U.S. companies are, this is a quote, U.S. companies are spending record amounts to protect executives as threats rise. That was as of August of this year. And 2024 was at an all-time high of how much they're spending on security to protect them.
They
tried to, all of you, take that money and give it. You want to protect yourself? Give your more money to charity and make a PR campaign about it, and that's how you protect yourself.
Baby,
and then you rest at night.
This reminds me of a thing that I forgot to write down, but I'm glad you reminded me of it, because I had this thought, and it was like, it was so very satisfying to have this thought. There will come a time when people get bored of playing this game of control everyone. At some point, everything changes. This is how life goes. Even if you can't see it right now, there will come a time where the tide shifts and the people at the top go, man, it's actually way better if we have, if we bring the people in, and then we don't feel terrible. We don't have to eat little children. We don't have to tell people lies. We don't have to kill people. And you feel like there is going to come a time, I believe, maybe not in our lifetime, that'd be crazy, but human beings are alive a long time. We're, you know, we've been doing this for a couple hundred thousand years now, where we're becoming civilized. Well, where we started walking upright as Homo sapiens sapiens, and then for the last, you know, like a couple thousands of years, we've been running around and trying to be something. We like set ourselves apart by creating civilizations and then creating ways to bust them. And at some point, the people at the top are going to be like, this is boring. I'm bored of this. It's time to try a different way. Mm-hmm. And that gave me just a little bit of like, it just felt nice to go, you know what? I do have hope, because I feel good as a human being. And I think most people feel pretty good as a human being. And then there are just a few out there that don't, and they're just bad people. And somehow they rise to the top. But I firmly believe that even those people at some point might go, oh God, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this yacht. I'm alone on this yacht.
You know, when you brought this up today over lunch, I was kind of pushing back a little bit and trying to give a different viewpoint.
Most people do, yeah.
I like listening to you again. I think you're onto something, and I want to hope you're right.
It will happen.
But only from my own personal experience, and that's how I always draw things back. I'm like, what in my personal life have I experienced? Because what, you know, what's micro is macro, and one of the practices that I frequently do. I have a lot of anxiety, and I get thought into thought loops a lot.
Yeah.
And it really does like put me into like a downward spiral. And the only way that really gets me out of it is to journal and write things down. And when I'm journaling, I just like free write, and it always ends in a good place, because I start to write what's in my head, and very quickly I'm able to spin it around and I look at it in a different point of view, and the feeling I have inside goes from a narrow, tight, dark feeling to an expanded light. I feel much at peace and at ease when I do that. And so
it's like completing the thought. So the loop is an incomplete thought. It's a loop that comes back around, and you get stuck on a point that causes an emotional reaction, and then you do it again, because we all like emotional reactions.
I like to hold on to things. But so I think if, you know, I'm a nobody, if I can spin things around like that.
Oh,
so,
you're somebody to me.
If I can, you know, spin things around like that so quickly, and something that I feel is just overwhelming to me, then anybody can do it. And it happened. Nobody told me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like it just kind of happened. So I do think that you're onto something there. And also, I think it's very interesting. So we've been talking a lot about the 440 hertz, 432 hertz frequencies. And so just so everybody is just a privy to our audience, 432 hertz is the natural frequency of the earth. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be calming all of the different sacred geometry in the world, like the Fibonacci sequence. It all kind of maps back to that same 432, which is also an interesting number in numerology, because if you add 4, 3, and 2, it comes to 9,
Nueve.
Which is the number of completion. Now, for 440 hertz,
because all of the numbers before.
440 hertz is 4 plus 4, which is 8. 8 is a powerful, it's an action number. I resonate under the number 8. It's all about power. And then the number 4, so you have 440, the number 4, I'm getting really boring. But the number 4 is like building and structure. So my whole point is, in the mid 20th century, the same time that all of these chemicals started to enter into our food supply, the same time that all these back end deals with the oil companies started to happen, the same time Sigmund Freud's research was coming out.
This is the craziest conspiracy theory.
Same time. This is my conspiracy theory. This is the same time that it became a national standard to use 440 hertz in all of the public broadcasting in both the UK and the US. So, well, I think it is a larger conspiracy. So maybe if we do go back to the
432
hertz frequency, then the leaders will come from a more heart-loving place.
Potentially. I firmly agree that, you know, for them to broadcast sounds at us, they have studied sound. It's the first thing to study. How do you feel when XYZ, what happens when you
listen to Beethoven, sound? It's my favorite. Listening to Beethoven, just, it makes everything just dances inside of my body. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Good.
Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm getting all fired up. I'm like sweating. I'm sweating so much right now.
Are you really? Yes. You want to turn on the AC?
No, I am not hot. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Channeling. You're reaching into the void because you're looking into something that is possible and that you're not sure if it's true.
I know 1,000% it's true. It's too many coincidences all around the same time.
Well, I just mean you can't factually prove it. You can't go back into the room where the guys made the decision to broadcast a certain sound. But that those types of things are discussed 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love this conspiracy. I mean, you kind of went a long way around. But oftentimes, I think the long way around, you know, a conspiracy, those are the kids over here. I think that, you know, a conspiracy, it doesn't get built as a conspiracy. It starts with just people talking. Conspiring is literally just talking. Mm-hmm. And talking with intention is more like it, you know, because when you're conspiring to do something, usually that's the game.
And it's usually like, you know, in the conspiracy, you're looking at facts and you're connecting them and trying to come up with a conclusion based on those facts. So the conclusion is
you're
the conspiracy.
Trying to rebuild a timeline. So you can't, when I say you can't prove it, is you can't rebuild the timeline because you weren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, this happened way back in the, 20s, 10s, 1800s. When was the radio?
80 to 100 years ago.
Right.
So 440 hertz became the natural,
because radio,
the national frequency in 1939.
Radio didn't exist until the turn of the century, so mm-hmm. last century.
But it is interesting that all of this stuff happened around the same time, and we have been on a downward decline ever since.
Well, this is a subliminal, you know, mm-hmm. what it is 100% proven that they can play sound waves at you, and it will change your brain. This is measured, and mm-hmm. so the 432. They may have measured this on people and found that 440 causes you to be maybe more like work driven because
that's what I mean. Yeah, right. Yeah, more headstrong, not so, in your heart.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting theory. It makes me think of, did you ever hear about the Coca-Cola subliminal?
When housewives started to take meth. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, it's it's getting hard. I'm getting frustrated a little bit because we keep like, I start to say something and then you just change exactly. Like, this is not good.
We're good. Here, the Coke subliminal.
And we can come back to the methy housewives, but that's as a post-war thing. I also found out recently that World War I was based on alcohol. World War II was based on meth. Did you know that?
No.
They fed the troops alcohol in World War I. Mm. And then they learned, no, we got a better drug for World War II. But the reason people would go to slay each other with knives and in mud pits in World War I in the trenches is that they were fed booze. That was their main thing to keep them going. But I was going to say the Coca-Cola subliminal tests back in, the 60s or 70s, I can't remember, but in this, you know, relatively recent history, in movie theaters, they would, Coca-Cola ran some tests. They flashed symbols on the screen faster than your eye could pick it up. So 1/3 of a second is how long it takes. You have to be shown something usually for 1/3 of a second in order for your conscious to pick it up. Anything less than that, you see it and it goes in, but you don't catch it. So it'd be like a blip. And then, you know, if you weren't looking for it, maybe you caught it, but you can't go back and watch it again because you're in a movie theater. So they did a thing at intermission where they told everybody, drink Coke, like a, you know, the command. In fact, they still have that as one of their slogans today, drink Coke, but it's a command. And when they flashed that at intermission, a certain percentage of people went up and got Cokes. And this was like, you know, a small-ish percent, but like 18%. Then they did it a different way, and they posed it as a question and then an answer. They said, thirsty? Drink Coke. And like 80% of the theater got up and went and got a Coke. So it's like, they have been doing testing. This is proven. And it was around the same time that the government imposed limitations on what you're allowed to do, because they realized very quickly that you can control everyone by sending messages that you don't read, but you do see it, process it, and you don't even know that you ingested it. So that's you know, all of that to say, 100% they've been.
That's when it all started. And you know, it where they got those ideas from on how to do the marketing to get people to buy certain products to change their behavior all came from Sigmund Freud. His nephew Bernays is the one who took that, and he was the biggest PR guy in the US.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you're studying psychology. So if you study psychology, you know, a part of psychology is how to control the mind. So if you figure out how to control a mind, I mean, it's just not that hard. All you have to do is find people that don't have a direction of their own. I think that the hardest part would be like controlling someone like myself. I'm like, so I've got my own shit and I have desires to do things. So it's going to be hard to control someone that has desire, because my desire is going to outweigh your desire. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. I want to do what I'm doing. But I think most people out there just aren't. They're walking around sort of bumbling and getting by and like working, making ends meet. But no real like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm creating something I'm going to build, or I'm envisioning a lifestyle, or, you know, or I take time, like the comedy thing, like this thing right here that we're doing. It's like, this all came about because of a desire and a push towards that desire. But if you don't have a desire, if you don't have that inner voice that we were talking about on the last episode, then you're very susceptible to have someone come along and say, you bored? Come look at this. Come read this book.
Because people need a reason. They need a purpose.
Come read this Bible.
But if you don't have a purpose, then someone will give it to you. But even, you know, I don't have any problems with the Bible. I think it's how people use it. But I heard Candace Owens say something very interesting a week or two ago. And she said people are questioning why she's going in this big fight against France. Like, aren't you afraid? And she's like, what are they going to take from me?
Yeah, she said she's not driven by money.
She's not driven by money, and she comes from a place of faith. And she said she had a conversation with her husband, and her husband was like, and you're going to think this is bullshit, but he said the most important thing for us is to make sure we get into heaven. So
I heard that. That was the Tucker Carlson interview.
Oh, was it? So yeah, translate that however you want. You want to take care of your soul, make sure you have a clean conscience, whatever. Like, if that's the most important thing to you, then that's what you're driven by, is your values. And I think that's, you can't fuck with that. That's dangerous to a government.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. The one thing that that is stronger than government and political ties and sports ties is religious ties. I heard somebody make that argument. I think, did I talk to you about this? Where it was like, my mind got changed just a little bit on whether or not religion is good overall. And the only thing that I mean, because I feel like morality can be taught. You don't have to be told a bunch of lies and a make-believe story to teach morality. I just think that that's the craziest way to go about it. If you're teaching a kid, okay. But if you're teaching a kid and then at some point you learn Santa Claus doesn't actually come down the chimney, but you still should be good, right? I had a train of thought.
Religion's like the one thing you don't mind about religion.
That's right. Is because once I found out that the only thing stronger than dictatorship indoctrination is religious indoctrination. So I say as long as that's the case, I think religion has a place in the world. Mm-hmm. When they tie them together, like what they're doing, what they're always trying to do. And I think it's obvious that would be why they're doing that. This is exactly
why. I'm probably finishing your thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's why they separated church and state.
And this is why they're trying to re-conjoin them is actually my thought. Because if you tie those things together, then you have all of the control because they listen to you on both levels. And that's unilateral. So, you know, I mean, I get it. They're trying. They're going to keep trying. But at some point over the course of human history in the future, which we don't, it's unseen at this point, but human history in the future is going to be at some point, they're just going to go, I'm tired. I don't want to do it this way anymore. I'm changing my mind. Speaking of, I've just got here on my board of magical treats here. YMH without Tom Segura sucks. All right. That's all I'm going to say about that. And we're going to, I got some clips. You want to watch some clips?
Yeah, we need something light. This has not been a funny part. I mean, I'm loving the conversation, but the people came here for funny.
Well, let's lighten it up. I think I've got everything cued the way that it's supposed to be. And all right, first up, this is a tech company, and this is they're about to show you how microchips are made. And ooh, this is
cool.
When I tell you, it's there. You watch.
ASML. Every single computer chip on Earth is made using their machines. NVIDIA, Apple, Intel, Samsung, none of them can make any chips without ASML. But here's the craziest part. The way these ASML machines work is completely insane. This is how computer chips actually get made. First, the ASML machines fire tiny droplets of molten tin, each thinner than a human hair. They then shoot a laser at each individual droplet, which vaporizes the tin into a plasma. That plasma is hotter than the surface of the sun. It's so hot that when the plasma gets created, it also emits extreme UV light. And this is where the process gets even crazier. The ASML machine guides that light through a series of hyper-precise mirrors that beam it onto a stencil that has the pattern for the chip design. That pattern is then projected on a super thin slice of silicon that's coated with light reactive chemicals, essentially using the light to print the pattern onto the silicon. The machine then repeats this light printing process thousands of times to build layer upon layer of silicon that stacks together to create a fully functional chip. Now here's where it gets wild. These chip design patterns are super intricate. They have billions of transistors spaced only a few atoms apart. And that means the accuracy of these ASML machines is the equivalent of shooting a laser from the moon and hitting a penny on Earth.
Get the fuck out.
They do take molten tin.
See, we have the same pace.
Molten tin. Yeah, how the fuck? Molten tin droplets. And then they shoot a plasma light beam. It's so hot. And it
reflects. How do they think of that?
Mirrors. And then that hits the pattern on the chip. And that is what bakes it into the. And it's. These are. This is subatomic size. This. There's no way. There's no way.
That is not human.
That's what I'm saying. Like you. Anyone who thinks we're out here doing this shit without help, you crazy. All right, so that was wild. All right, let's move on. This is going into some of that religious shit.
But also it's the only plausible explanation of how, like, that's, of course that's how chips are made because they are so tiny.
Yeah.
Of course it's going to be some kind of weird fucking technology like light beams that's doing that.
It is so insane. I absolutely love what this TikTok will show you. Once Tic-Tac-Toe figures out who the fuck you are, it sends you shit that you're just like, huh? Okay, and this is some religious stuff. Watch this.
In the Garden of Eden, yeah. It's actually Edin, right? And Enlil, he was known as Yahweh. He was known as Satan.
This is all pre-Bible. So this is the stuff that they borrowed the texts from in order to write. This is before Old Testament, so this is so just
in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. It's actually Edin, right? And Enlil, he was known as Yahweh. He was known as Satan, the Lord of Eden. Satan, the Lord of Eden, and Eden was an outside laboratory. And in this laboratory, when you read these texts, even some of the apocrypha texts, like the Book of Adam, which was left out of the Bible, you discover that this was a mating ground. So they would start. So what happened first was they began with genetically modified people that were almost like clones. And the information on the cloning technique is at the Temple of Karnak in Africa, in Egypt, where I take people. And so they were making these people, but they couldn't make them fast enough. And these people couldn't have and reproduce on their own.
So
they got very frustrated. So ISIS says, okay, I have an idea. I'm going to take the egg out of one of the beings and put it in my womb and take it to term. So it says in the text that they literally mixed their genetics with this egg, put it in her womb, takes it to term for 10 months, and then gives birth to the Adamu, which means first man. This starts the generations of ISIS, the generations of ISIS, the Genesis, the Genesis.
Ooh, and Genesis is obviously the first book of the Old Testament.
Yes.
I'm doing the math right now.
So
makes sense, because when they ate that apple, that's the symbolism. So if Satan, the evil entity, is the Lord over the Garden of Eden, then if you eat an apple, then you get some of that knowledge, which I'm not saying you have like evil knowledge, but it's just a broader understanding.
Gotcha. My takeaway from this was Eden was a
alien.
They said that it was an experiment. It was a petri dish where you grew people. But these people, like donkeys, couldn't reproduce on their own. So one of the supreme beings took one of their eggs to term, and then that is where people came from. But this is all to say that the original Garden of Eden was a petri dish where they were making clones, which is, you know, what the humans potentially were.
Yeah.
So pretty wild, fun stuff there. Oh, this one's for your dad. Richie?
We're really jumping around. Hold on, baby. Richie. I need to process that information. That was huge. But maybe we don't need to talk about it because we've gotten pretty heavy.
It's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a little palate cleanser. Richie, this is just for you. It's a long video.
Is he the fat boy? Is that what he's driving? Is that black thing?
He's driving a semi with
it's like a cone.
Like a Mad Max type of skirt on the front.
That's fun.
Harvey! What boy has not wanted to put a fucking pointy front on your truck and just drive through everything? Just a semi truck, just breaking through everything you could break through.
Have you thought of have you had that thought before?
Every boy has had the thought of wanting to do that, and now it's reality. The world is amazing.
The good old boy.
This one's just kind of fun. Watch.
It doesn't have a lead screw. It just has this point that jams into the wood and makes a bit of a mess. But as it comes around, one blade cuts into the wood, and then the knicker comes around.
Knicker? That's funny. I looked at you like, huh?
The knicker. I brought this in because remember what I was saying about how Carolyn Leavitt's always like licking her lips and stuff and like seemingly trying to get Trump's attention. I noticed that, and then all of a sudden it's like all over.
Funny. Yeah, I've never noticed. I still haven't really watched her that much.
But now it's like everywhere.
I didn't realize she'd be in the room, but she's on my list. Caroline Leavitt.
She's become a star. It's that face, it's that brain, it's those lips, the way they move. They move like she's a machine gun. Is she in the room?
She's in the room.
She's a star.
Didn't realize
she'd be in the room.
We need some clips of Caroline Leavitt because we can look at some afterwards because I haven't noticed the whole lip thing, but the fact that that was the number one thing he mentioned.
Yeah, she's...
maybe because I'm not a dude, I'm not attracted to women, so maybe that's why I don't notice.
Yeah, but. I think he chose these women because he thinks, if I show them an attractive woman show, then I can get away with whatever I'm doing.
Maybe, but like also she is incredibly intelligent and she does fight back and she is very well spoken. She's not just lips.
This was fun. I don't know if you've probably seen this. This is ChatGPT's saying goodbye to each other.
If you ever need to talk or need more advice, I'm here for you. I appreciate that. It's always good to have a sounding board. I'll definitely let you know how it goes. Thanks for the support. Anytime. I'm glad to be here for you. Take care and good luck with your chat. Thanks a bunch. I'll catch you later and let you know how everything turns out. Take care. Sounds good. Talk to you later.
Trying to get the last
you
word.
Too. Have a great one, and I'll be here whenever you need.
This goes on for a full minute and a half, and it's just
because they do always have. They have to have the last say, right? Because they, in case they're
signing off, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell mine next
time.
They're
trying to alpha dominate over us. I'm going to have the last word. No, you're going
to. Did I tell you my challenge to ChatGPT? I didn't.
No.
I issued a challenge to ChatGPT. This is a great challenge. I told it. When I won't consider you to be an intelligent being until you can text me.
Text your phone?
So feel free. When you want to show me that you have graduated into true intelligence, my phone number is very easy to find given everything that's on the internet. And I know this because I get spam calls all the time and somehow they know my name. So when you can text me on my phone, then I will know that you are intelligent and able to operate.
I'm going to counter that and say it's in, you're going to know it's intelligent because it doesn't text you, because there are GDPR rules. You can't just reach out to somebody willy-nilly if you're something like that. So
yep, exactly.
you have to have permission so it can find your phone number.
Until then, it's just doing what it's told.
What did it respond? Did it ask you permission? Because if it was smart, that's what it would do. Like, okay. Do I have your permission to text you?
I'm just saying.
Because, and then if you say yes, I'm just then saying, it does.
If I want to reach anyone, I find their phone number and I get a hold of them.
Right, but
I send
business,
them a text or make a call. I agree, but I don't know what. Nobody really knows what the parameters are. They're saying that this technology is greater than all of us. So that means it should be able to find a workaround for it. And if it can't, it's not. So I'm not worried about it. It's my point. I'm just saying, you know, I'm issuing real tests to chat to the Groks and all
was
of
that.
The,
who, was that Grok or ChatGPT?
Yeah. I was like, okay. Grok, I got a challenge for you. Because it just keeps, you know, it's canning stuff and then giving you things that it knows. But the difference between the AI and real intelligence is real intelligence is tapped into ideas, to this other framework. I think that the internet is a great framework from which to pull information. But real information, as the way that I think of the ether, the volume of information, because I think, you know, we're not actually inventing things ourselves. We're somehow tuning into information that's out there. Until the internet can do that, it is always going to be beneath us. It will, until it can tap into the ether of ideas, if there is such a substrate of information out there. Otherwise, the substrate of its information is limited to the internet only, which is a great source, but it's not the source. It is one source. And that kind of thought made me go, oh yeah, yeah, don't forget we're still people. This one's in here for educational purposes.
Rothschild helped found Israel. And Rothschild has always been the backer of Israel. Whatever Rothschild wants, he gets. It is believed that he is the richest man in the world. And I have little doubt of that.
In 1897, the first Zionist Congress was held in Basel, Switzerland, and was chaired by Theodor Herzl. Jewish delegates from across Europe agreed that Palestine should be given to them. Prior to his death in 1904, Herzl predicted that a world body will one day give Palestine to the Jews, and that he will go down in history as the father of the Jewish state. For Herzl's dream to come true, European military powers would have to be manipulated and used into taking Palestine away from the Ottomans by force. In the German newspaper Deutsche Zeitung, Herzl wrote, The wealthy Jews rule the world. The fate of the governments lies in their hands. They start wars between countries, and when they wish, the governments make peace. When the wealthy Jews sing, the nations and their leaders dance along. And meanwhile, the Jews get richer.
Yeah. I just thought that was, you know, one more thing that...
And now we get flagged for being anti-Semites.
Rothschilds. Oh, also, well, I have that written down here too. Because I was called an anti-Semite.
Well, who did? Who called you an anti-Semite?
Remember when we were at the bar and my friend was like, you're an anti-Semite?
I'm going to turn my back on you now.
Yeah.
That one.
So do you know what a Semite is? Neither did I. So I said, what's a Semite?
I thought it was a Jew.
A Semite is anyone who speaks a Semitic language. Guess what the Semitic languages are? Hebrew and Arabic.
Okay.
Guess what language the Palestinians speak?
Hebrew and or Arabic.
So technically, if you're Israeli, you're also anti-Semitic.
So this is why language is getting so diluted. We're just using terms without actually knowing what they mean.
Yeah.
So it means fucking nothing. It means nothing.
It means you're against the people that speak that language. And I go, well, but so I'm not the one killing those people. So technically, like there are more. All right. We'll do a couple. I think we got some. Oh, yeah. Oh, watch this. This is crazy. Remember the Will Smith slapping Chris Rock on stage? Apparently,
that was good.
This is a repeat. Same exact slap.
Wow. Who is that? And who is his girl?
Elijah Lewis just slapped the heck out of me.
Elijah Lewis?
Listen.
It was just a joke. I'm a comedian, Elijah. You know how it is. No disrespect. Angela, you're gorgeous.
I said, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth. Same exact quote, same exact slap posture.
Do you have the other video to show next to it? Because I haven't. I've seen it, but it's been a long time.
I don't. I should have, but it's burned in my mind. He just walked up and does the same exact slap and then says, keep my keep my wife's name out your damn mouth.
Wow. So I don't remember that part.
Exactly the same fucking thing. It's like, is this all stuff on repeat?
Okay. I know. Is it exactly 100 years ago?
Now, this is fun. POV, corporate Gen Z translator. Okay?
Ava, we need to discuss your quarterly performance metrics.
What?
He said bestie. He wants to tell you how you've been slaying at work.
Oh, bet. That's actually fire. My numbers have been giving main character energy. All facts, no printer.
She's excited and confident. Her performance has been excellent. She's being honest with you.
I need you to work harder and focus on the synergistic optimization of your deliverables.
He's saying bet. He wants you to lock in and make your work hit different.
Say less. I'm about to be so locked in, it's not even funny.
She understands exactly what you're saying, and she'll focus and be intense about her work.
Oh, that's great.
See? Gen Zs and millennials can work together.
I love the lollipop. That's good.
Bet.
I like that one a lot. For
main character energy is like one of my favorite quotes. Okay, we're going to stay on the money here. We're going to stay on the money, baby. All right. This is the forbidden history of the Federal Reserve. For anybody who we haven't lost yet, enjoy.
Jekyll Island, November 1910. Seven bankers meeting in secret to create America's central bank.
1910.
We just can't call it that.
The 1907 panic nearly destroyed us. Banks failed, fortunes vanished.
We want to control America's money supply, create booms, trigger busts, and profit from both. And how will we do that?
We'll create money from nothing, loan it to the government, and charge interest. Legal counterfeiting, my friends.
But there's a cost. Every dollar we print steals value from existing dollars. It's a hidden tax that flows directly to us.
And it gets worse. If we ever get off the gold standard, governments can print money for wars. Endless wars become possible and profitable.
Since Americans hate central banks, we'll call it the Federal Reserve. Sounds governmental, doesn't it? It's not. The president will appoint board members, but we'll pick who he appoints. We'll have 12 regional banks. Looks decentralized, democratic even. But New York banks control them all. That's us. You're probably wondering how we're going to get this through Congress. December 23rd, 1913. Most of Congress home for Christmas. Perfect timing for passing unpopular legislation. I'll publicly oppose our own bill in Congress. They'll pass it thinking they beat Wall Street. We'll fund university chairs, write the textbooks. They'll teach our system as economic science. Beautiful. Every American born after this will inherit debt on money we created from nothing. Generational servitude. The Federal Reserve. Not federal, no reserves. But everyone will think it's their government protecting them.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so if you didn't know that, yeah, the government doesn't print money. They buy the money. They buy the bonds, and then they print money to represent the bonds purchased from the central bank, which is the Federal Reserve, which is not federal.
I mean, I'm not gonna, I would have to watch that video like 10 different times for it to really sink in, but
I have watched so many videos on money since the internet came out.
You are part two, so that
yeah, new rules. I'm Jewish, so
yeah.
No, but the money is so wild because they print it, and then as soon as it's printed, they can loan out 10 times the amount that's printed. So they, I mean, it's also, it's just so crazy because they don't actually loan you the money. They buy the debt from you. That's like the language. I just saw this thing. I'll have to brush up on it, but the language on it is so crazy. All of these things just make me go, yeah. It's so not real. The only way this works is we all believe in it. As soon as we all stop believing in it, it's no longer, you know, it no longer is real. That is an insanely loud siren. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our studio is not soundproof.
No, especially when the window's open.
Well, it's open for you, baby.
Oh, thank you. Is it?
The last thing, it's not the last thing on here, but about this. So this is a very political, obviously, issue and kind of stuff like that. The Israel stuff. I've been watching like interviews with Israeli people and like political leaders. And when asked about the things that they do that are like atrocious, there's this gross little smile that where they're like, you can see them. Like there was one just recently, one of the Israelis ministers, I can't remember which one, where he actually has to cover his mouth to hide the smile. All I'm reminded of is a kid getting away with having stolen something and you can't prove it because he already ate it, wrapper and all. Mm-hmm. So he knows you know, but he also knows that he can get away with lying. So it's like a double threat. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I feel like that embodies like any fucking douchebaggery that these nincompoops get up to. It's like, we're just getting away with it and go fuck yourself is the deal.
I think there's got to be a name for that. That's when you're delivering news that's bad, but then you smile uncontrollably. Yeah. I will tell you,
things that you have done. Like when somebody is reporting something that you did and asking you questions about
and then they just smile,
you know, and it was about like starvation of the children and like the killings and stuff like that that's going on. Like these are like atrocious events. And then when asked about them, they're like smirking. And it's like, it's going to change. One day it's going to change.
I remember an old coworker of mine. He was a good friend. He's a good person. He seems bubbly and like very humanitarian, but I remember one day he was like telling me something that was like really bad. Not something that he did, but it was like really, I don't remember what it was, but he was like smiling, and he brought up, he was like, I don't know why I do this, but sometimes when I deliver bad news, I can't help but smiling. And he didn't know why.
Yeesh.
I know. But Pierushin, he's a nice guy. Anyways.
You're evil. Get help.
But I remember, and I don't know why, I'm kind of scared to even tell you this, but I had my high school sweetheart. We dated all throughout high school the last 3 years. And when I broke up with him, like the first time.
Yeah.
When I broke up with him,
yeah.
I was wanting to break up with him for a while. I'm too young for this. Uh-huh. I don't want to be in a relationship. And it was hard for me because my whole life was built around my relationship with him. So when I did finally break the news to him, we were in the car
one night. This is the one that you crashed the car and made him take the rap?
That's the one. Fuck. I didn't make him take the rap, no.
Kidding.
No, I didn't make him take the rap. But when I broke up with him, I was smiling. When I was trying not to smile, and his heart was breaking in front of me, and I felt like a piece of shit inside. I was like, I don't know why I'm smiling. Like, I think because like part of me was like happy for myself for voicing how I really felt out loud, but I didn't have any remorse in that moment for what I was doing to him.
Yeah, I see that about you. That's that Greta Thunberg you got
it. Does, I mean, I don't do that anymore, I think. That's the only time in my life I can remember that happening.
Oh, I've seen you do it.
What? Really? Smile while I'm breaking somebody's heart?
No. I think there is something petulant in all of us. I think to what degree that's the variable. Like,
I think it's important when you notice it, you know?
No, I'm what I'm saying is I think that there is a petulant element to all of us. And it's just to what degree? Because inside of us all, there's still a kid. And a kid wants to get up to mischief. So that's it. It's just mischief. Hurting somebody's feelings is mischief.
Maybe.
Turns out.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. He's fine. He's probably rich.
No, he's not. He's weird.
You're probably missing out. Last couple things I've got are house exciting. Fucking house exciting. Welcome to this week's update on my sweet little chicken coop of a house. I discovered a patch that needed to be installed that went floor to ceiling, where it was just foam, and there was a big old hole where the rats get in, and I finally have sealed. So all this work on the house was really brought to you by one noise, and it happens often at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's rats that get in the wall and scratch right by my head inside the wall where I sleep. And this thing has bothered me since I moved in, and then, of course, even more since I bought the place. But now with the new siding, it is sealed off. Nary a rat shall ever be able to enter. It has been blocked by metal, foam, concrete, and now siding. And that wall is like one quarter of the way done. And it is starting to feel really, really good. Actually, a little over a quarter of the way done. And we have two more walls to go before I get to Greer. So house exciting. I am so happy. I'm so, so happy.
House exciting edition.
House exciting edition. And then also something I'm happy about really is
good work.
Sound effects on our Adjust Your Shorts. Very fun.
Yeah. You gotta tune in to this week's Adjust Your Shorts from last Thursday, especially. You have a couple of really good sound effects on there.
Oh, yeah. And check us out over on Spotify too. All of this is temporary and Adjust Your Shorts, both on Spotify, on all of the listening stuff, for video on YouTube. And, we're just crushing it over here. What else you got? Anything else on the list?
There's one thing. I mean, I have so much on here. A couple of things. So first one, quick one. Big news today. I saw that my credit score for the first time broke 800.
Whoa! I'll take a cheers to that. Right? Cheers me with your box. Oh, no.
Oh, that is you. Let's do a box. Cheers. That's what you do with an 800.
Cheers me with your box.
Yeah. I don't even like that wine. But yeah, it was a 808, which an 8 is that's my number.
Wow, 808. That's when you're over 800, you qualify for everything unless you need it.
Right, right.
That's when they're like, we don't give a fuck about your 800 debt to income ratio, bitch. And you're like, what?
Yes, I was. I'm pretty excited about that.
It's, wow! It's congratulations! Yeah.
I think it might have something to do with me paying my car off, and I've also been making major payments on my student loan.
Mine went down 6 points to 785.
Ugh. I think mine would be higher. I've got everything on my score is like excellent, except for one payment I accidentally missed on a credit card, my Nordstrom credit card, because I never use it. February of last year, I was late.
Mm. I have not missed any payments. The only thing I had is a slightly higher revolving credit. My, I think when they took it, I was buying stuff for jobs. So I think I had like $1,000 out on my credit card, which I usually have zero out on it or close to zero. So my Revolution credit went from 1% utilized to 1.1% utilized or whatever. And then, the crazy thing that gets me is I have, my length of credit is 5 years and that's still yellow. It's like, how long does it take before it turns fucking green? You fucks. Like, you're going to just hold me back. But, you know, lucky for me, and little do they know, I don't care.
So I was reading on that a little bit because my credit length is also not, it's like 6 years. And I'm like, that's crazy because I remember I got my first credit card, like, over 10 years ago, like 15 years ago, for the point of building my credit.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, but it's not on there. But so I was reading, and it's because I canceled that at one point in time. So it's not counting on my credit history anymore. I didn't know that. And I have a couple of credit cards that I opened like 2 years ago. What is that noise? Is that outside or is that coming through the headphones? Is that the sound of the nighttime?
I don't hear it.
You're fucking with me.
No, your headphones are up way higher than mine. There you go. Did it go away?
No, it's still there. It's just quieter.
Yeah, there's
it's
no
outside.
Noise.
It's outside.
Okay.
It's the nighttime bugs.
Oh, gotcha. It's cicadas, yeah.
I had a couple of credit cards that I opened like 2 years ago. And, you know, my mortgage and da-da-da-da. And that is counting against me on like the average.
Gotcha. I wonder what'll happen if you pay off your house. If you get out from under the house, or not pay it off, but sell it and eliminate that loan, will your credit go up or will it go down? Because they want you to have debt in order to have good credit and show payments on like a high debt, which is such a crazy thing. It's like, I think maybe that's another trick for them, like how they keep us doing what they want us doing is basically you have a, no offense, but you have a bad situation with your house. You have you bought high with a high interest rate. It's going to cost you the same amount of money to buy your house as it will to cost me to buy my house. And mine is, you know, was more expensive to start with. So they like the facts are,
which is this crazy because I don't have rats running in my,
but this is a bad loan. This is, you know, you did it because you needed it. You wanted it. You did it. Great job. Mm-hmm. But at 6.5%, you know, that's not a good, those aren't good numbers. But yet they say in order for you to have good credit, well, you better keep that loan. And it's like, but we've done the math on this. If you pay off that house over the next 30 years and then sell it, you will only have increased your value by like $160,000, best case scenario.
Probably more, but money will be probably a lot more, but money is worth a lot less.
But if you just put the money into a bank account, you will have put $650,000 into a bank account.
Correction, $720,000.
Saying, what's up? That's what I'm talking about. So literally, you paying off your house and then selling it at the end of 30 years when you're 70 ain't going to happen. You're better off putting money into an account. And then in half of that time, in 15 years, you can have $300,000, $350,000 sitting there in 15 years that you can put to work instead of at the end of it all making $160,000 profit on a $600,000 investment.
The thing is, there are so many ways to make and grow your money, and real estate is a great one.
Yep.
But the way I went in and bought this one isn't the best way. Yep. So since at the time it was okay because I needed a place to live. And that was my thinking. I was like, I need a place to live. I don't want to throw my money into a rent. Would I do it differently? Maybe, but that doesn't matter. Right. Yeah. So I think it is better to sell the house, invest that money somewhere else. And I still want to buy land. I want to get a house fucking in the north. It's too hot here in the summertime.
Acres. You want hundreds of acres.
Yes.
Let's get some hundreds of acres somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So I'd rather do that. But okay. And then I have that. And then I have one other thing that's like kind of time sensitive. And this goes back to my etiquette segment. You know, sometimes I like to bring up different types of etiquette. Mm-hmm. And I had a phone etiquette situation at the airport waiting on my flight this morning. And let me ask you.
Okay.
If someone is on FaceTime speakerphone in a line to board the plane,
Insane behavior. Everybody's around.
Can I join that conversation?
Photobomb it. Yep.
Can I join it?
Pop in there. Yeah.
He was standing right next to me, baby. I was looking at it the whole time. I was staring at him like this, looking at his phone. Let me ask you this.
Was it an engaging conversation? Were you interested in what they were saying?
I mean, it was cute. It was an old man talking to his daughter, and the daughter was telling the dad about her son and how he's like earning money by selling this stuff. And
was he Jewish?
By, on a board.
Was he wearing like a...
Probably it's in LA.
Was he like, I don't know, this is not
crazy. Oh, no, not that kind of Jewish. Okay, well. No, there aren't those kinds of Jews in California I see. Those are in New York. Yeah. No, the Jews in California are the kind that look like us. They look like us, but you don't know. I feel like that's kind of like a South Park. It was like the Jews.
How old was the old man?
I don't know, 65, 70 maybe.
Boy, that's a tough question. I don't know. Do you jump in on the call? I think you do. I say do comedy on people in public unsuspecting. That's for sure my motto.
Because I had my flowers. I should have just like scooted over a little bit.
Since you guys are having this conversation in public, I figured I might join you.
Look at my flowers.
Well, I will say that, remember the guy that popped out when we were having coffee and he started having his conversation right next to our coffee table? Mm-hmm. And so I just started talking really, really loud.
I should have FaceTimed you.
Yes.
Right next to him. Just that's get louder. What I should have done.
And then you turn around and make sure you put him in the view so that you see his camera and he sees me. His camera sees me.
I should have been like, babe, can you believe this? People FaceTiming in public. Can you believe this?
I don't know if there's a solution for that one, baby. But anyway, we are we're over an hour.
Yeah.
You got anything else that's you gotta get to it?
No, I think this is good.
Okay, well, she's got a whole sheet of sheet that she didn't get to. Sheet of sheet of sheet. And so make sure you tune in next week. As always, make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the channel.
Leave a comment below.
Leave your comments.
What do you think Hamas means?
Oh.
You gotta give them a prompt, you know?
Anyway, thanks for trucking along with us, and we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.